Well, if you've got your Bible with you and you want to follow along, let's turn to Exodus chapter 11. While you're turning, I'm going to pray again. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to you. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for all of the opportunities, the great things that you walk us through, and this journey that we're doing on Sunday nights. Thank you for it. Father, I ask your blessing upon tonight. Holy Spirit of the living God, we invite you to run tonight, to be in charge, to fill our hearts and our heads. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, following our tradition, I'm going to read through it and then we're going to go back. Now, it's going to take a while because I'm going to get through 10 verses here. I like saying that. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will strike Pharaoh and the land of Egypt with one more blow. After that, Pharaoh will let you leave his country. In fact, he will be so eager to get rid of you that he will force you all to leave. Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. Now, the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. Moses had announced to Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord says. At midnight tonight, I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the oldest son of his lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour. Even the firstborn of the livestock will die." Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before or will ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. All the officials of Egypt will run to me and fall to the ground before me. Please leave, they will beg. Hurry and take all your followers with you. Only then will I go. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. Now, the Lord had told Moses earlier, Pharaoh will not listen to you, but then I will do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed these miracles in Pharaoh's presence, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites leave the country. And then we get to the next chapter, which Ron will do next week, and I won't get into it. But starting over again, I'm going to back up a little bit to verse 27 of Exodus 10. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart once more, and he would not let them go. Get out of here, Pharaoh shouted at Moses. I'm warning you, never come back to see me again. The day you see my face, you will die. Very well, Moses replied. I will never see your face again. Okay, and then comes chapter 11. The best laid plans of Pharaoh's and Moses's may get laid to the side in obedience to what God says. So again, in verse 1 of chapter 11, then the Lord said to Moses, Moses said, very well, Moses replied, I will never see your face again. Then the Lord said to Moses, always important, I will strike Pharaoh and the land of Egypt with one more blow. After that, Pharaoh will let you leave his country. In fact, he will be so eager to get rid of you that he will force you all to leave. Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their neighbors. Well, let's back up for a second. So we have Pharaoh whose heart's been hardened and will not let them go. And then God says, oh, he's going to want to get rid of you. And in fact, he's going to want all of you to go and go quickly. Circumstances change in our lives. Yes, sir. Yes, you are. Or make opinions known.
We couldn't say that Pharaoh's heart not hardened anything. He could have done all this. I don't know what's wrong. All of the people are hardened.
Which is a great question, and it's one that we ask almost every week, in one form or another. Well, it sometimes changes a little bit every few weeks, but I think this, and this is Greg speaking, what we have to go on is what the Bible says. And it's like many other things. I can prove a lot of things with Scripture, but we're dependent on God expanding our understanding. We're just Holy Spirit dependent. And I tend to fall where I think you are, is that Pharaoh makes decisions and his conscience gets seared. And he makes another decision and gets seared a little bit more. And he gets harder and harder and harder. But no matter how hard you get in your conscience, God has capacity. He. And maybe it's because maybe it's because I'm chicken, but I find it much easier to maintain a tender heart than to have God repeatedly have to break it. And if you walk in brokenness, I think you're in the best place to be. Are you lifting your hand to say something? So I think on one side of it, we're saying this is what it says, and what we're saying is here. How does that accomplish? What's the methodology of doing it? And as Katie pointed out, that verse says Pharaoh hardened his heart; he just tightened up on it. And the other one, God says, "I hardened his heart." Well, how did he harden his heart? Did he do it by allowing him to go a path that was not best, or did he just go, "Your heart's hard, ma'am"? Just made it harder. Yeah. And I don't disagree with that. My position is the same. Is that the end result is he was making terrible mistakes, and this last time is going to get really bad. But I'm going to move on with it. So we're in the same place that we are almost every time. And I've just come to a conclusion. We describe on one side the scripture says this happened, and on the other side we discuss how does that happen, which that's what that discussion is in a. I'm okay just walking forward. In fact, he'll be so eager to get rid of you that he will force you all to leave. Verse 2, tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. And I got to tell you, for years, I have taken this deeply to my heart. You go, well, what does that mean? Well, the first time I ran for sheriff, I ran because God said to run, and I lost. And I asked him, God, I and I said, God, I didn't expect to lose, But I trust that you were walking through that with me too. But I learned every other time that after that, that I would ask him, should I run? And he says, yes. And I ask him, am I going to win? And he would speak to me about yes, and then how I was going to win. And that was really nice. It was interesting. But one of the things, and I look at this as cheating, honestly, it's not really cheating, but I would pray that God would give me favor with the voters. Pardon? Oh, I think so too. Well, right. And obviously in this case, he gave the Israelites favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, particularly Moses, who was very highly thought of. And suddenly Pharaoh's in a position, a political position, and Pharaoh is government. But he's got all of a sudden all these people that are his people are going, hey, these are pretty cool people. Let's do this. But anyway, God. Right. Amen. Yes, and the thing that keeps echoing my in my head is this 40-year-old or 80-year-old guy is going to now go out in the desert for at least another 40 years. And in there, how many times is the temptation come to let's go back to Egypt? Evie's whole thing in life half the time is we're not going back to Egypt. And she's right. She's right. The Egyptian people like Moses, verse 4, Moses announced to Pharaoh. So now Moses is back in the presence of Pharaoh. This is what the Lord says. When someone says that, all I know is it says that he announced to Pharaoh. Yeah, somebody just walked in the door. Okay. It's Susile. Welcome. We heard the door open last Sunday, yeah. I'm taking it that he is again in Pharaoh's presence, and he's giving a horrible pronouncement. How do you feel when someone says, and God gave me a word for you? How do you feel when, have you ever had that happen? Well, yeah, me too. That's what I think every time. God, just talk to me. But it's a humbling experience to have to accept it that way sometimes too. And we know that Pharaoh's not a terribly humble man at this point. But Barb, either way, the message is delivered to Pharaoh. I figure, and this is just me, I figure that God listened to that conversation and said, well, we'll see. And I think, you know, we plan, we make plans, and then God delivers the future. But Moses had announced to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, at midnight tonight, I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, comma, pause. How many firstborn sons do we have in the room? Four? Okay, four of us. Dave, are you a firstborn? Okay. That's it, firstborn son. It's his son. Yeah. Yeah, mine says all the firstborn sons. And in my King James that I was also reading today said sons and it. But I don't know. Yeah, it's an ESV or RSV. I'm not sure which. I don't remember. But anyway, we can go with either one on that. If it's firstborn, then Evie's gone too. Will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, to the oldest son of his lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour. Even the firstborn of all the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt. Now, this is prophecy of what's to come. We won't do the what's to come part, but it's prophecy about what's going to come. And then, and the whale. Can you imagine in a nation, in one night, every firstborn or firstborn son, depending, in every family dies? And if that counts, I mean, I think about it and go, that means that if it's the guys, it means that Greg and Josiah are gone. If it counts the girls too, it means Greg, Josiah, and Evie are gone, and John's left. I mean, there's a significant population. This is where we really hear about a significant population destruction in Egypt. And I'm gonna make a couple comments. As we go through this, we need to we that's a whole study, but even this chapter, we need to look at what I talked about this morning briefly, the three R's. They aren't reading, writing, and arithmetic, which really are one R, but it's repentance, what's the word I'm looking for? Redemption. Thank you. Repentance, redemption, and restoration. That process of repentance, redemption, and restoration. And that's literally this will reflect it as we go through, but it's that back to the scarlet thread of redemption. The other thing it's going to show to us is that every government formed by man will fail. And in this particular case, you've got a group of people on one side that are subjects of Pharaoh. The government is the Pharaoh form of government. Unenlightened despot, really. Semi-enlightened, unenlightened despot. And that's going to fail. And it's just about to fail big time in the next night to come. In the other side, you've got the Israelites. You have the people of God. Are they perfect? No. They keep going through this repentance thing. They keep recircling back and doing it, but they fall, they pick themselves up, and they move forward. They fall, they pick themselves up, they move forward. Kind of like us. Kind of like us. But they've chosen God, and He's chosen them. Kind of like us. And I think that as we go through, keep checking how many times. I mean, through the entire Old Testament, how many times government fails. And then once you've gone through that whole Old Testament, looking at every government of man that fails, looked at what's happened from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to today. And that brings up the United States. And I'm an American. I love the United States. But I love the kingdom of God more. And at some point, I feel like we're in the midst of failure right now. I think the next election is going to prove a humongous amount, one way or another. But I think that you're going to see that even this system will fail, because the only one that ultimately will work is a theocracy with Jesus Christ on the throne. And that will work. That will work. But I think that even all the way through this, He's proven that every time. And when we get to the kings, oh, well, God, would you just please give us a king so we can, and what's the scripture say there? So we can look like, pardon? Yeah, we'll look like everybody else out there. Well, we don't want to look, we may think we do, but we don't want to look like everybody else. But I think that Egypt's about to run into the I am. From the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the oldest son of the lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour, even the firstborn of all the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise up throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before or will ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Now, in this next chapter, there's going to be a lot of telling in there that's going to apply to this very night. And it's going to be critical, and it's going to be interesting. I love reading through it every time. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. All the officials of Egypt will run to me and fall to the ground before me. Please leave, they will beg. Hurry and take your followers with you. Only then will I go. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. Now the Lord had told Moses earlier, Pharaoh will not listen to you, but then I will do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed those miracles in Pharaoh's presence, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't let the Israelites leave the country. But the next day's on the way, followed by the next night to come. What does it take to what does it take to get a person to walk in brokenness? What does it take to get a Pharaoh to walk in brokenness? What does it take to get a Joe Biden or a Donald Trump to walk in brokenness? What does it take to get you to walk in brokenness? You, me. It's individual. Amen. You know, the solutions are simple. The process is not always easy. Yes, all the time, every day. You know, I do, but then I get tricked into thinking something looks pretty. You know, there's this shiny object. You know, Evie has taught me about shiny objects. I still fail at it, but you know, we joke about it. But I've learned that if I walk a step or two behind and a step or two to one side or the other, when we're walking somewhere, so I'm a little bit behind Evie, it's so I can respond when a shiny object grabs her attention and she moves this way or this. Because if we're walking side by side, I'd turn like this and I'd look back and she's gone. And I'd have to, isn't that true though, hon? Right. And you know, almost all of them have exactly the same stuff. And if you want something unique, you need to go to the Hightower store of great jewelry. That was like a commercial moment. It's probably true though. This thing of brokenness. Do you realize what it's taking to bring Pharaoh to the point of brokenness? This is phenomenal. One more chapter. I just guess a few chapters here, but covers a period of time that's very hard. I think that I would have learned, if not before, the boils would do it for me, I think. I don't like boils. True. You mean Joseph? Yeah. But we'll wait till next week to answer that question. You want us to wait, right? Okay, no, we should wait. We should wait. You know, I know that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I think about my own life and what I thought of Christianity before I came to Christ. And then, you know, when faith happens, it happens right now. There's a point where everything shifts. It just is. And mine happened in the middle of the night when I woke up to go to work for, at midnight, but I woke up about 9. And I woke up and I knew that the Christians were right and I was wrong. I knew it. And now, what was the change? Brokenness happened to me in the middle of my sleep. But I knew when I woke up it was so. And I didn't know how to meet him. And you know, I think when John came a few weeks ago, this is what he said. I need Jesus in my heart, and I don't know how to ask him. And if you think about it, you want to go, that's stupid. But it's not, because you don't. There's got to be some special thing here. Not much to it. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus and confess him out your mouth. You got to believe and you got to step on it and move forward. And the change, I watched it happen to him, and it was at the moment when he confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, well, I said, can you say that? And he goes, well, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he stops. He goes, Jesus Christ is Lord. I wasn't about to get between him and the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment. He was heading on the right road home. And the people that resist unto death scare me. It's so important. Part. As Billy Graham would say, the 18-inch jump. Well, you ask friends that are Christians, or hopefully you don't wait too long. And I wonder sometimes how many spouses have prevented another spouse from coming to the Lord. You go, what are you talking about? I worked a suicide in Juneau years, many years ago, one night, and an adopted son. Might know something about that. And I went to the parents' house, who were very well-educated people, and their hearts were broken, kind of. And the man, the dad was sobbing. And the mother just had this horrible grimace on her face and was crossing her arms and shaking her head. And you know, all of us have this in this room. I believe all of us have the exact same thing to offer, and his name's Jesus. And in reality, that's all we've got to offer. But there's nothing better. Seriously, we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I looked at him. I reached out and put my hand on the man's hand, and I said, I don't know your background, but I do know Jesus. And he is the only person. He will bring you peace if you want to walk in peace. And he said, yeah, I want to do that. And his wife reached over and grabbed my wrist and yanked it off of her husband's hand. And she goes, and this is the most inane statement I have ever heard. She goes, we're smart people. We don't need him, right? And her husband's doing this, and he goes, right. And that's where I had to leave him. It's an interesting position. You know, what effect we have, can't do we have an effect? Is free will a thing? Well, we just ask about hardening of heart or strengthening of heart. I would contend, I take Greg Laurie's position when he just lays them out both sides of it scripturally, and he looks up and he goes, "Well, I guess you're going to have to make a choice." Okay, so I got free will. For me, I look at this and I go, the level of resistance by Pharaoh, what it's taken to get him through chapter 12 is phenomenal. And then, even then, does he stay with it or does he repent of his own brokenness? You know, I guess we'll find out next week. Not that we don't know. And what about us? How many times have we turned back? How many times have we gotten our heart hardened through something or by something or just simply choices that we make, and then we end up having to walk in brokenness again and again? And I'd rather just stay soft and tender. It's hard. It's hard because you have to die daily. You have to choose to be a living sacrifice every day. And I look at Moses in this, and it really, I find it so interesting in verse 8. All the officials of Egypt will run to me, Moses speaking, and fall to the ground before me. Please leave, they will beg. Hurry and take all your followers with you. And then he says to Pharaoh, only then will I go. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. Generally speaking, you don't talk to a Pharaoh that way. From what I can read from other sources in particular, you're treading on interesting ground. Was his anger righteous? Because most of the time, man's anger is not righteous. Most of the time. Jesus said so. So I'm on pretty good ground. But in this particular case, I suspect there was a lot of righteous indignation there. I don't know. What I do know is redemption comes right after repentance. And then that process of restoration to what we were created to be in the first place. That's all I got. Anything to add? Then there's four. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the oldest son of his lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour. Even the firstborn of the livestock will die. Probably. Wouldn't want to be the first puppy in that litter. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but it... Right. Right. And it's certainly not a matriarchal society. A lot of work. Yeah. Yeah, that whole land problem. So we can say it like, was it Mary or Martha who said, but Lord, it's been 4 days, he stinketh. King James. I couldn't hear that. Because we know that this Pharaoh survives a little longer. At least it appears that he does, because certain things have to happen yet, like repenting of letting my people go. Yeah. I get all excited about the part that's coming up about the Red Sea too. Greg and I had a long talk about that the other day. It's pretty exciting. He says, I've got it. I think I have it figured out right where they crossed. And I said, is it where they found the remains of chariots and horse skeletons? And he goes, yep. Steep water. Yeah, I thought it broke off at one point and got pretty steep. I don't know. You know, we'll have to go diving. Dry land. Yeah. Right. Unless you dry it out first, and he can do that. I want to see this hot wind that blew through there and that supposedly dried it out. Give me a break. That was a good statement, Bar. Nope. A little bit of blood on the lintels went a long way. But you're right, they had to comply. So since it's technically before the 12 in my Bible, I can say first Passover is on the way. You know, pardon me? Yes. There's so much that not even a dog will bark. Then you'll know that the Lord made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. I think so. Oh, I'm this is where I would go time out, because we're not going to take away from next week. And our great temptation is always to go to the next one before it's the next time. And I really want us to get in the habit of not doing that. It's hard, because I want to talk about Passover right now, but I'm not going to. Right. Yep. Right. I think you could clearly say that the land of Egypt minus Goshen has been absolutely decimated. Absolutely decimated. I go, I don't know, I don't really know what Egypt, I don't know what Egypt looked like then. I know what it looks like now. I know that in those days the traveling rations of Pharaoh's army were brown bread, weak beer, and leeks. Quite a diet, huh? But the weak beer was as it purified it was purified because of the alcohol, so nobody was getting sick from the waters. It wasn't like the bounty you would get going to a homeless shelter and being fed your chicken leg and scoop of rice and scoop of green beans and a piece of bread and a cookie. That would have been pretty high rations for the Egyptian army in comparison. Now, Pharaoh's court, I'm sure, ate really well until this all happened. It's hard to not move forward. You'll get to it. I'm telling you, if you look at it from the outside, fear should have been rampant on anybody who doesn't have absolute faith and confidence in God. And realistically, looking at the world that we live in today, I was visiting one particular lady a few weeks ago. And she said, I think that we should be teaching people about nuclear war like we did during the Cuban Missile Crisis. How many of you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? How many of you remember Tuck and Duck in the school system? Absolutely worthless, by the way, just so you know. You all had, who did? I tried to get Dad to do it and he wouldn't do it. He was right. We didn't need it. It amazes me how many times on Pinterest that bomb shelters will pop up on my feed, and I've never inquired about them. But it's interesting. The whole thing on just the Helene, as you said, the trust and obey. So you've got, but that means that you've got to have a relationship with God where you hear his voice. And if you belong to him, he says you do. Then you have to choose to act on what he says. This is an individual walk. It's also a corporate walk, but it's an individual walk too. I know that things are going to come to pass. It's going to be uncomfortable. Can we have such a good life compared to, say, Nigerian Christians. And if you didn't count the persecution and to death of those Christians right now, it's still our life is so easy compared to the average person in the world. And we get panicky on Mondays when you go to the store and there's not many eggs left or there's no milk on the shelf. Wow, this is like Russia and back in the 50s. Well, yeah, only it's a lot better. Still a lot better. How? Pardon? Yep, that's right. Next year's on the way. You know, this whole thing of what does it take? What would it take in your life to make you turn your back on Jesus? I hope that there's nothing. But I watch people sometimes when they're suffering from something. Like Katie, PT, it amazes me. You love PT. I'm great with it because I see it as finished carpentry. If I want the functionality, you do this. But I also watch the people that won't. It hurts too much. A little hurt now will be far better later on. But they won't do it. They won't do it. And then they want to blame the PT, and then they want to blame the doctor for their choice, their lack of being able to choose to walk through. And the same thing's true in our faith. Our faith is for real. But sufferings and joining in the sufferings with Christ is for real as well. And the way that you do that is an indicator of your maturity in Christ. It's not, this is going to shock you. It's not how much you know, it's all about who you know. There's a difference. Let's close in prayer. Well, Father God, in Jesus' name, again, God, it's such a pleasure to pray, to be able to talk to you, to talk to you on the throne, that we're allowed to do this, but it's by the blood of the Lamb and we know it. Thank you so much for covering our sins. Thank you so much for leading us and guiding us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what's to come. Thank you for the days that you've given us in our lives. And God, I'm personally thankful that you've given us a shelf life. God, as we grow and we blossom, God, as we live and then ultimately wither, thank you for it all. God, I ask you to continue watching over us and ordering our lives. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.